When I was 11, I went with my grandmother to on an errand in her very large car, and she decided to get the car washed. It was in a very hot August day, and we got in line for this very long line on Germantown Avenue for this car wash, and we waited for about, I think, 5 minutes. And there was these yellow-orange cones that handed everyone into this line. And Grandma said to me, "Howard, go out and move those cones." And I said, "Grandma, we've only been waiting for 5 minutes. There's 8 cars in front of us." I was mortified. I'm mortified now doing that sort of thing, but 11 is even particularly bad. Regardless, as usual, she won over me, and trying to be as stealthy as possible, to no avail, I actually went outside and I began to move the cones 5 or 6 feet over to the left, much to the rage of the other people. Got in the car and people began to honk. Grandma wheeled the car around. Passed about 8 or 12 cars, but went right up to the front of the car wash. And as people were yelling and honking, Grandma rolled up the windows, and she said, "Howard, you can always make another line." I think is kind of the preeminent thing that she taught me. And there's a lot of there's various subsections of that lesson that have been important to me. But Grandma taught me that the world can be changed through an aggressive and focused act of will at the right time, and often at the wrong time. But that was a very important lesson. And people have talked about various aspects of that, but I think for those of us who have more Hamlet-like qualities, sit around wondering what to do, aren't very good at acting right away, takes you until 35 to actually learn that. It was a very, very good lesson. She was a doer, and I think That was a really crucial part of what she taught through however she irritated people or didn't irritate people. She acted. And I was actually reading Marcus Aurelius about 3 weeks ago. I don't do that often, don't worry. But there's a quote where he talked about great statesmen. And he said, "Deeds, not words." And that, I think, represents my grandmother more than anything. Because she was, in her own way, a great stateswoman. And she made our family a perfect state in many ways. She ran it like a state. So I wanted to tell one or two stories that Grandma told me over the years. I think it's significant that she was born in 1899. She died in 1999. And for me, she represents the 20th century in many respects, because she came in contact with many people and things that we take for granted as part of the fabric of this century. But also, these stories that I went through some tapes that actually my brother and I taped several years ago, talked to Grandma about various things from her childhood, and she this was about, I'd say, 15 years ago. But they seemed exemplary to me of certain aspects of her. And one of them was a story of when she was 7, a woman that she admired, and I think in many respects was a hero of hers, was Aunt Ray Michaels. I don't know, absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
my sister, isn't
it? I know. And Aunt Ray Michaels was a very aggressive and forceful woman in herself, and she she did something that was somewhat scandalous in 1907, and that is that she bought herself a motor car. And she drove around with it. Grandma was very, very happy to tell me this story. She loved this story. She drove around without a hat by herself in 1907. And great-grandma apparently was very worried that some of the children might actually stray into the automobile with her and go off on a very dangerous ride. Of course, grandma wanted to do this right away. And she told me that after badgering Aunt Ray Michaels for a long time, she finally agreed to have grandma ride in the automobile. But, and grandma told me that the one image that she has is sitting next to Aunt Ray Michaels in the car. It's chugging up there. They're ready to go up Westview, well, actually Quarter Street. And great-grandma is standing next to the car and she's saying, "But what if Margaret falls out?" And Aunt Ray Michaels, in what is cut, reminds me of my grandmother, said, "Don't worry, Edith. It's not like a horse and buggy. If Margaret falls out, we can stop right away." Which almost 100 years later could have been said by my grandmother about one of us. But that is a lesson that, to me, underscores what Lewis talked about, which I think is really crucial about her, and that is her great physical bravery, her desire to throw herself into physical circumstances, not talk about life, but just do it. And another story that she told me, which reminds me of another aspect of her kind of courageous will to make her life the way she wanted it to be and not wait around, as I might, for it to get better. She went to visit Uncle Bill at Princeton in the 20s, I think it was.
The late teens,
thank you. That would be the late teens. But grandma was afraid that, she told me, that she wouldn't have anyone to dance with at this ball that she was supposed to go to because she didn't know anyone at Princeton. So she apparently ordered Uncle Bill to get her dance card beforehand filled out completely with his friends so that when she got there, she wouldn't have to worry about not dancing, which I think was a very, very smart thing to do. One interesting thing is that she danced with a young man who was at Princeton at the time, who was a friend of Uncle Bill's, who was named F. Scott Fitzgerald. And Grandma, you know, I thought, "That's amazing, Grandma. You danced with F. Scott Fitzgerald?" And she said, yes, I did. And I said, "Well, what was it like? You know, did he talk to you?" She said, "Well, I thought he was a wonderful dancer until he stepped on my foot." Which was about all I would get out of her about F. Scott Fitzgerald. And lastly, there's a story that I think everyone in the family knows, which is about the time that a kind of bespectacled, sheepish, Hamlet-like man from New York City came up with his wife to visit the family in Maine with a group of people, and it was decided that there would be a big event in boats, and everyone would go out in boats, and Grandma was in the boat with this man, who happened to be James Thurber, and he said right away, "I don't row." And Grandma said, "Well, I do row." So there was Grandma plowing away with James Thurber sheepishly in the bow, which to me is all about Grandma's implacable will to do things that other people were either unwilling or unable to do because they just didn't act. So I think for me, what's most crucial about what she's taught me is this ability to make a second line, to say, "No, I don't accept the way things are. That's not the way they are necessarily supposed to be. I can shape the world the way I want." And for that, I'm deeply indebted to her.